This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are you talking to yourself or is this from some
Godfather
movie I've never seen? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Have you seen The Godfather,
yeah,
I hope?
Once or twice.
It's Mike Shope.
I did not see it until my 30s, but then I became obsessed with it.
And the Bulldog.
I've never been obsessed with it, so I don't know it well enough to have picked up on that.
I did not care for The Godfather.
What?
Did not care for The Godfather.
I don't think it's a movie where it's like, oh, it's good. Godfather, yeah, I saw that. It was good. It was good. The Godfather, I saw that. I liked it. Like, that's just right. You didn't really see it.
I'm not in the way of it being an all-time great. I never got obsessed with it.
Explain yourself. What didn't you like about it?
It insists upon itself.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
We are still on the Bills GM, his visit yesterday morning, and less about the moment and the conversation, more about the outcome of the draft, the revelation, if you will, from the conversation that, yeah, we weren't going to draft wide receiver because our offense is good without any new wide receivers. Where is it going to put them? These are not quotes, but these are definitely, I think, accurate representations of his feelings and his actions.
Yeah, they in my opinion, captured the spirit of the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
They work.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about, and we'll look for your calls here momentarily, is this the last, should it be the last kick at it for these guys, Bean and McDermott? And I'll just say again, every year when they've lost in the playoffs, they've won a playoff game every year since 20 and then lost. I don't have to tell you because you know this. We would get the occasional time to make a change phone calls. And, you know, I have friends who feel that way. You might feel that way. You might have friends who feel that way. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said every time, I just doubt in a year, if they have the same year, I'm going to feel this way. Like, I think it would seem crazy if they made changes given their success.
I have absolutely always felt that way. Like, there's no reason to stop. Keep going.
Well, it's just that this past year put that more to the test for me, because they got to the championship game. Again, they played a Chiefs team that they had beaten. And in this case, despite Kansas City's struggles on offense all year, they had a fine, kind of easy game against the Bills. So I'm trying to do a thing here again in this draft where I'm drafting for defensive talent to make the difference in that spot. I mean, the division is bad. They'll almost definitely make the playoffs. And, you know, it has to work now. The combination of that football game, and because I can't complain about the offense in that game, and this draft has me at the point. I was already there before the draft, but maybe I'd assumed the draft would be like this. Because we have for most of the, you know, last few months. Where now you can't have that again. You can't have another season where you lose in the playoffs because you can't stop Patrick Mahomes for what would be the fifth time in 6 years. Like that's when I'm ready for the check. If they lose some other way, that every season tells a different story, then I don't know. Like maybe there will be reasons to feel differently. But if I have, for the first time in all these years, if I have that, I'm saying if I have that season again, I think I'm done.
Yeah. So you mean, like, hypothetically, just for instance, that maybe the Bills have a tough game on defense all game long and they're behind, but they get a key fourth quarter stop and get the ball back for the offense, and the offense moves the ball some, but then gets stuck. Maybe there's even a bad call mixed in, but then they turn it over on downs and they lose. That still would be the same, because that's what happened last year. That's what happened the year before. They got the ball back with a chance to win the game both times. Like I got to push back somewhat on the defense keeps costing them these games. Like I know what the stats are. I know what the points per game are. And I don't know, maybe this is the wrong way to do it, but I feel like there's been too much of a swing over to here. And the Eagles, I think, are largely responsible for it because they murdered the Chiefs. And now, like, I should be able to do that. I play them all the time. What did they do that I can't do? Well, I don't need to beat them by 20 or 24 or whatever the final score of that game was. I just need to beat them. And I still, part of my motivation, in addition to Bean and really the Bills as an organization, their own choices, trading for Cooper, talking like they did about Coleman and Kincaid and how much work they need to do to get to where they can really feel like they will be important, impactful players for them, and the way the season ended. I mean, 2 years in a row, I've got the chance to beat you if I can get in the end zone. And, you know, if 13 seconds happens again after that, well, then I've got definitely the defensive problem. And I'm not saying, you know, I can see the defense needs improvement. I would take every time Josh Allen with the ball at the 2 minute warning in your territory where a touchdown wins the game, especially against that team. Like if I'm playing the Jets, then no, I don't need it to, I don't expect it to be that tight. But the Chiefs are going to get theirs on you, probably, even in a down year. We just saw them do it. But, man, I've got a dude, and I've got a chance to win the game. And I don't know, man, in the NFL, if the roles are reversed, I know this points to McDermott's defense. I'm expecting Mahomes to come through one of those times, if not both. And my offense has not been able to do it. That is not to say, like, I have a Josh Allen problem. But I think I have an offense problem. And that's why I'm always looking for another guy out there that could be someone who potentially becomes the difference in a situation like that.
We can argue about this anytime we want. People are waiting to talk. I mean, the Chiefs averaged 22 points a game last year for whatever it's worth. Maybe you want to assume that they would score anyway because they're the Chiefs, but they didn't against, you know, a lot of other opponents, including Philadelphia, where it wasn't even close to good. Here's Chris with us. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to preface by saying, obviously, Brandon and Sean have done a great job changing the fortunes of this organization around. But it's, you know, almost entirely based off one person, and that's Josh Allen. So let's not kid ourselves that one, if not both, would have been gone by now if Josh Allen wasn't their quarterback. And I think the most telling thing about that conversation with Jeremy the other day was Jeremy purposely left out Dalton Kincaid when they were talking about receivers. And Brandon immediately put Dalton Kincaid and said that you don't think about the Chiefs without Kelce or the 49ers without Kittle and the Lions without LaPorta. And it's pure delusion to have him in the same sentence, let alone the same paragraph or even page or even book. Dalton Kincaid is a certified bust at the moment. And listen, he could have gone up and got one of those four receivers, but at least he tried to address an issue. But to put them in the same sentence, like, does he not realize this is a 3-win football team without Josh Allen at quarterback and he doesn't have a job? And Bulldog, you brought this up yesterday about, you know, do you spend 6 or 7 picks on defense or do you just try and find one guy to score 4 more points? And it's like, what are we doing here? And the caller, a few callers ago, talked about, we've had, and he's right, we had Trey White, all pro corner. We had the best safety tandem in the NFL. We had 2 good linebackers in Edmonds and Mullins. So we've tried this before. I think he just thinks that he's addressed this issue and he's addressed the receiver position and he thinks that it's in, that how dare someone question that he might be wrong about it.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
I agree with most of that. And I don't think – I wouldn't call Kincaid a certified bust, but he's definitely not on the other guy's level.
No. I don't like anything – the caller didn't exactly do this, but anything that ventures into dinging them for selecting Josh Allen, like just resorting to it, it's just luck. That they made the choice. Like, if you want to ding them for Kyer Elam, then I think you have to credit them for Josh Allen. That's only fair. They made the choice. Yes, there's luck involved all over the place. We all know that. But ultimately, they sat and decided this was the guy. And it was not a universally accepted great idea at all. You know, being leading off with you guys, the general blanket, you guys all hated that. You all wanted Josh Rosen. Okay, sure. I mean, I know that's the way the story gets written, but it wasn't just the guys on the radio. Like, you had a field house full of people, fans, your fans, that chose to go spend draft night with you and your organization that booed when you made that pick. So it wasn't just like that charge was being led by us. I mean, we were a part of it, sure, but like that existed. That's it. You got it right. Full marks. I will never ding you for that. But
Leave it out.
Yeah, or leave it out. But it was not, you know, like the guys on the radio were the only people going, hey, I don't know, this doesn't sound like a great idea. A lot of people felt that. A lot of analysts who spend their lives analyzing football thought it was a bad idea. They didn't. Good for them. I credit you for that, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Great pick. But to bring that up, like we had the market cornered on being critical of that choice is nuts.
It's unfair. Bob is next. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Say, the thing that at that conversation yesterday, Bean aggravated me in that yes, it took me back to the Kansas City game, and which I just shut the book on when it was over. But what aggravated me about that game was, yes, the defense, but Benford got hurt, so you knew they were going to give up the points. But I went back yesterday, and I looked at next-gen stats, and in that championship game, Josh Allen completed 34 passes. 20 of those passes were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Attempted 34 passes, yes.
Eight of those 20 were behind the line of scrimmage. And through the game, I'm thinking, our receivers can't get open. Our receivers, there's something wrong with our wide receivers. They can't get open. And, you know, Kansas City figured out that little screen pass to our wide receivers. So I guess what bothered me, he was denying the fact that, and by the way, the wide receiver with best stats in that game is no longer on the team. So
Collins.
how he can just say, well, I'm fine with the wide receiver room, when who's in that wide receiver room that's going to make us look any better against the Chiefs? Because that's what it boils down to. Not how many points you score against the Jets twice or the Dolphins twice or the Patriots twice. It's how are you going to beat Andy Reid, who, by the way, sees your defensive player go out and is going to take full advantage of it. You got to figure out a way to beat him. And you got the dude, like you say, that you're handcuffing by not having anybody that can stretch the field.
Yeah, Bob, you know, you're right. It was everything came to be short as that game played out. And some of that is their limitations. I feel like they knew them, the way they called plays in the second half of that game. They knew them. They did score 29. There was no fluke there. There was one takeaway in that game, and their offense was good. When it came down to it, the one play, and that's how it goes, right? That's the rivalry. The one play where it's a jailbreak, and suddenly your season is over, just like that. John is next. Hi, John.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Wanted to talk about the whole Bean thing. You guys are going on and on and on about this whole wide receiver. The fans are getting on the radio talking about it. And what we sound like right now, we sound like a really rich girl, sweet 16 birthday, and she wanted a Ferrari, but she got a Porsche. And she's not happy. Like, look, I'm 29 years old. I grew up my whole life without the Bills being in the playoffs. And now we are a contender year in, year out. And we want to complain because at the draft we didn't draft a fancy wide receiver. Like, it's absolutely crazy to me. How you beat elite quarterbacks is with an interior pass rush. Our interior pass rush sucks. Ed Oliver, not good enough. Daquan Jones, old, not good enough. Jordan Phillips, old, not good enough. That's how you win. Interior pass rush in an elite quarterback's face, you force them to roll out, and then you have long, lanky ends that contain them. That's how you win championships. That's how the Eagles won their championships. Would you rather be the Bengals who go and they draft their superstar QB and then take Chase and Higgins, had to pay them, defense sucks, and then they miss the playoffs? Like, all these takes are wild. Even with without Josh Allen on our team last year, we're winning the AFC East. All he did was threw short passes. Any quarterback could have threw that bubble screen, and we would have won 10 games. What Bean is building here is 10 years of greatness and then little tweaks in between that'll get us a Super Bowl. These are the little tweaks on top of the core players we have. Like, if we want to direct this energy somewhere, go direct it at the Sabres. They're the ones that deserve it. Because if you guys really think that these are the last set of picks Brandon Bean's going to make, we have a hockey team that hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years, as it hasn't fired the GM that hasn't gotten better in 5 years. So this whole bashing Brandon Bean for a wide receiver thing needs to end immediately. Immediately. We sound like spoiled brats. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right, John. It's a great job. That's a great job. Here's Zach next. Hi, Zach.
I love that. It's hard to follow up.
It's good.
What I loved about yesterday was I just felt like both guys were right. I mean, they needed to get better at defense, but my main criticism of Bean was when Jeremy was trying to phrase it in a way where, like, you know, Brandon, would you not agree that, like, you might not prioritize wide receiver like some other teams might, which he got defensive again, and he was kind of dancing around it. The truth is, he doesn't value it. I mean, he didn't. Going back, I mean, they haven't drafted anybody other than Coleman, and they gave up a first round pick for Diggs, which is now 5 years ago. I mean, it's okay. He can admit that he doesn't prioritize it. He's a Khalil Shakir miss away from having like nothing. I mean, hopefully Coleman steps up. Hopefully this Palmer's a good mid tier free agent. But, I mean, we were just 3 years ago away from, you know, pulling John Brown and Cole Beasley out of retirement because he didn't do enough that year. Everybody forgets about that. And I agree with that last caller. You want to take that energy, throw it at Kevin Adams. Bean's not the guy that deserves it. I don't actively criticize him. And you know what I hate about a day like yesterday is if there's people, they were waiting for that day to like, pound the table, you know, the other way around. It's kind of, I'm a season ticket holder. It's kind of like the idiots that around me just say things blatantly during a game without any factual basis to back it up. You know, it just frustrates me. I think a lot of the people that are critical out of yesterday, especially critical of Jeremy, are people who don't listen to the show and understand and or listen to the first 2 hours where everybody was like, yes, defense, this is what they needed to do. It doesn't excuse them for not having, you know, gotten enough at receiver. Last thing I'll say, my greatest fear is they don't get the Super Bowl and 2 or 3 years does go by and all of a sudden we look back and say, did we do enough? You know, some teams do that. Tom Brady, they were able to not do enough around him. Aaron Rodgers didn't get the first round receivers, but Peyton Manning did. Some of these guys got these guys and needed it. Time will tell if Josh does. I think Brandon and McDermott will get into a year or two into the new stadium. I don't think it's like a one-year thing, you know, into next year if they don't win the Super Bowl. But I do think they will get those couple of years. Thanks.
Thank you. Man, another great job. I hadn't thought about the stadium. I'm not predicting their demise here either.
Right.
I'm just saying there's a specific season that they've just had. If they were to repeat it after all this investment, that I think I would feel like it's time's up. But I hadn't thought about the stadium. Also, the Ferrari is better than the Porsche.
Yes, I think that's right. I think that's right. It's opinion, but I think that's right.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Pete. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to dovetail off of that last guy's point. So he talked about, and I think it kind of relates to one of the arguments Bean was raising. in the context of like asset allocation, you only have so much money to spend. So the last caller talked about different quarterbacks not having enough at wideout. And what I would say to that is I think of a quarterback who played for the Colts who did not have enough at offensive line.
And he quit.
Sustained injuries. And his career was over. I mean, he's a prodigy, Andrew Luck, and he got beat up, and his career was cut short. So the first question that I have for you guys, if you had to pick between a top five offensive line and a top five wide receiver core, which would you choose with Josh Allen?
I'd pick receivers easily, but, I mean, how bad is my line then? And if I have a good line, like last year they had a good line, not amazing, good, especially good in how they were durable. They were fortunate that nobody ever came off the field for them up front, and that's always a big point when it comes to the line, continuity. They really benefited from that. But, no, I'd want the receivers because right now I don't know who they have on the team that next year in that spot I'd want the ball to go to. Because last year it ended up being Kincaid. After an Amari Cooper play went nowhere, that didn't work out. Kincaid hasn't really worked out. It's really – a caller earlier said it, he's Shakir away from just what? And I don't need to say it, but I'm just thinking how during the pre-draft, I was often reminded that they had Curtis Samuel on the roster because I would try to think about what they were on offense and I'd forget about Samuel. And now it's starting to sound like he's important. And just cross your fingers.
Right. There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah. I'm sort of processing the great points that have been made here. So I'm sort of take. I don't know. I don't feel like I've said much in the last 10 minutes or so, but I've really enjoyed the people that have brought what they've brought. So
right.
Thank you for that.
Hey, by the way, just it's one of these situations where people kind of run at us. It has nothing to do with...
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, Ford. America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Whether you or I disagree with the take, if it's good, it's good. This guy two calls ago, I mean, that was just a great job. It had nothing to do. I didn't really agree with the end point.
Yeah, I don't feel like a spoiled brat.
That was a great job.
But I get it. I get it.
Super. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WG.
We just showed that we could score 30 points a game for 8 straight games. We averaged over 30 points. We scored the most points of anyone last season when you include the playoffs. So why are we talking about receiver? We like our receivers. We feel strong about our receivers. And in our opinion, it wasn't the deepest receiver class to be trying to peg a player that would fit in our top four.
Brandon Bean with Pat McAfee today. First us, tomorrow, or today McAfee. Tomorrow, Colbert. Is he still on?
Think so.
Bill Maher.
I think so. That's definitely still happening. Yeah.
Ship chasing. The big ones. 803-0550. We continue. Here's Mark with us next. Hello, Mark.
Hello. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
We've been talking about the draft and you know, I was sitting here in my chair at our pick. Nick Emmanuel was there for the taking. And with all the problems we had in our secondary, to have a player that is a Swiss Army knife that would help the back end, and we pass for just one corner. I don't get that. And another point I want to make is, you know, we're talking about receivers. I want to talk about tight end. I think we drafted Dalton Kincaid. Was a first-round draft pick. okay, I get it. He gets hurt last year. But the kid that came in from Webb City, Missouri, Zach Davison, he could block and he could catch and he could move. All of a sudden, the next week, Kincaid's back in and Zach Davison, I don't see him for the rest of the year. I get it. You spent the number one pick, but there's production. I would take Zach Davison. He's a hungry player, and he played hard.
Okay,
great university. Oh, yeah, he's great. This is what he'll do.
He played at Utah.
I don't believe it.
Okay, thanks, Mark. He played at Utah. I don't know. Is this a friend of Zach Davidson, maybe?
Maybe hometown. I don't know, whatever. Like, sure.
They weren't going to take a safety when they needed a corner.
No, and I love the Emmanuel idea. That was my draft crush. I never thought it was that realistic for the Bills, so it wasn't like I was broken when they passed. The whole league passed on him through the first round. So when that happens, it's one thing if the team right ahead of you or the team right after you. Like, I was a little tense after the Bills passed on him, and here come the Chiefs and the Eagles, right? You even get the Eagles trade. I'm like, oh, man, is this for my guy? Like, no. He doesn't go until Friday. So
35.
Okay, it's close enough. The Bills had bigger needs than that guy. I mean, I appreciate what he could have meant to them, but they needed a corner, and I get it.
He went to your Seahawks.
Right, Milrow. There too. Right, that's it. My two draft guys:
Torrey Horton, Elijah Arroyo.
I have to like
Damian Martinez.
I never liked the Seahawks. What am I going to do?
I have always liked the Seahawks.
I know.
Dominic is with us. Hello, Dominic.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So the whole Brandon Bean thing, I feel like we're looking into it a little bit too deep. You know, like the way I see it, he's the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. 550. Collectively between you guys and the fans calling in, you know, we're Bills Mafia, and I feel like we just got chewed out a little bit. But honestly, with the draft, I was a big receiver guy too, but the more I saw who we were drafting, I got more excited. I mean, how many first team, second team, All-American SEC players do we get? Big Ten players. I mean, I'm pretty pumped up about that. And then
me too. I like the, you know, it gets lost in the shuffle here. Not that we were the center of the Bean thing. Obviously, it was something that happened on our morning show. But one of the first things I said yesterday is I really like the first four picks. You know, even the rest of it, you're mentioning the Big Ten and whatever. Like, great. But I like the first four picks. I mean, I would have liked it more maybe if one of them were a receiver. But I like the way that looks on paper, those four choices.
That's a good point. And up to the Ohio State corner, I mean, everyone up to him, I'm pumped about. And, you know, honestly, like, as far as the playoffs and losing to Kansas City, I see the Bills, you know, on a projection up where I see Kansas City kind of falling behind, the Bengals falling behind, and the Ravens, you know, I feel like those three teams are our main contenders, and I see us just a little ahead of those guys.
Okay.
A couple guys made a point about Kincaid. I mean, not doing so hot his first couple of years, but Kelce, I mean, we've been talking about him for 6 years. How long has he been in the league? 10?
Yeah, about. About maybe more. What is Kelce?
Got to be at least that.
What's the point though?
Is the point it could take some time for Kincaid to turn into Travis Kelce? Is that? I mean, he's going to get time. He's going to get. This is a big year.
12 years.
Huge year for Kincaid. Something's got to work here. Either end zone or down the field. Like it. Fine. You're not going to feed anyone. Everybody eats. He's going to catch 60 passes. Okay, fine. I'm going to need, I don't know, a third of those to be significant. You know, like not just swings at the line of scrimmage. Let's get going.
Talk a lot about that this summer because there is still the aspect of trying to make it fit. It's not just what the player has been capable of and whether he was hurt or not. They have a problem trying to put that puzzle together with two tight ends and Shakir, and then I don't know out wide what the quality exactly is. So what to do with Kincaid, with Knox still kind of a staple.
With a sixth lineman at times. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, at times, you know, it's not, you know, a ton, but it's more than anyone in the league. That's for sure.
Steve is next. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you guys talking about this topic. I really think Bean has distracted everyone from the real flaw here, and that is
the defense and that him and McDermott have just really failed us in this sense. And I don't think Bean has failed us from draft picks. I think McDermott has failed us from developing players. You can't tell me that there isn't a defensive player that McDermott doesn't approve of 100%, let alone offensive players, when they draft. Those two are tied together at the hip. And Kyer Elam was taken because they believe they could fix him. And so I don't consider that a bad draft pick. I consider that, and Boogie Basham and others, players are not developing. You know, look at our offense. We've gone through four offensive coordinators. Aaron Cromer has been really consistent, and we've developed really consistent offensive linemen. You know, we've turned over this playbook a bunch of times, and because Josh Allen's there, the offense is consistent. I really think McDermott has failed us on the defense, failed us developing players, and I really think the heat is there. And, you know, whether we took a wide receiver this draft pick is irrelevant. It is the defense.
Okay. You know, I have to admit, the word development in football is not a word I think about a lot, and it's good to mention it because, to me, what you get in the draft in free agency is mostly ready-made. That would obviously vary, and when you're talking about quarterbacks, it's we talk all, only about development. So when that at that position, yes, but I'm not sure I would know the whole – well, I certainly wouldn't know the whole story, but it's a conversation to have with Sal. Like, when a player, with Elam, for example, is that a development failure or is that a draft pick failure? Like, is it worth parsing that? Can you really know? I don't know.
A miss is a miss, however it misses. I think the caller is selecting the players that were highly drafted or not that didn't turn out, Basham and Elam, and you're ignoring a fifth-round linebacker who's an old pro, Milano, and Benford, who's a sixth-round pick and is board, like you know one of the best corners in the league. I'll just leave it at that. The players that Poyer and Hyde turned into when they got here that they really were not before they came. I think if you're going to ding or you want to talk about development, I think you got to include those people too. Like the guys that are good, like you're saying here, are they just ready-made? They just show up and they're good. The guys that are bad, the coach did a bad job. Like that doesn't wash. That's not consistent to me. And I'm sure there's different answers all over the place. Maybe Christian Benford was just going to be great. He got ignored and got picked on, you know, late on Saturday, and he showed up and was just better. Like, okay, maybe that was going to happen. It was undeniable. Or maybe the Bills did a very good job of bringing him along at a speed that worked for him, and they got paid off.
It's a word that it matters. I mean, it's a word that matters. But, you know, like with hockey or baseball, you see it through the prism of the minor leagues.
Right.
And just, all right, so what's the plan? Devin Levi, or development. That word is like stapled, you know, in ink on the back of his jersey.
You're
or
right. It rarely, like
it's development.
It rarely gets used in football.
Football, but from the outside.
Outside of quarterback. Yeah.
Right. From the outside, how do you know the difference, really? Like, it would take a really keen eye and some inside information. All right, well, this is, because on Elam, everybody, and you know, this is it's public, so it's going to be positive almost always. But it was like the guy worked super hard. He wants it badly. He wasn't like just sort of aloof or anything like that. But he didn't get there. I mean, to say the least, he couldn't even have him on the field.
Right.
So it's a good word to bring up.
Yeah. There's no minor leagues to watch these guys go and spend their time. Like suddenly
or debate.
We've arrived at a benchmark on the number of games Levi should maybe ideally play in the minors. That does not exist for a first-round pick or a street free agent. I mean, it just doesn't. You're in the league or you're not.
Yeah, and Kincaid, in his example, kind of has to go right in. We talked to Sal today about Hairston. They drafted him. You draft him in the first round. You're planning on him starting. Think about just like they're super young. Well, Kincaid's older, but most of these guys are super young enough, and you get in there. You're really not ready for it. You're on a team with very high expectations and great players at a lot of positions around you, and you're just not there, and it starts to weigh on you. And it makes it, every time that something goes wrong, it would make it that much harder to succeed the next time. And then, boom, you're out. Like, it's high stakes. Let's get Jay in here next. Hi, Jay.
How you doing, guys? You're kind of building on a point I want to make, and I might be off on this, if you can tell me, but I think what I heard with Bean yesterday, which was amazing radio, by the way. I think this stuff is so fantastic. I felt the guy in a bit of a panic mode, if that makes any sense. And I think what I see Bean doing, this is just my take, is the fact that I think he's kind of chasing his tail when it comes to the defense. We've talked about there's Tremaine Edmonds who got picked, and he's gone. We've got Boogie Basham traded up, and he's gone. Kai Elam, all these guys. Milano has been great, but he's missed a lot of games, and we're talking about a guy who might not even be on the roster next year. So I think with that happening, and then I factor in the Dalton Kincaid pick, and the reason why I say that is I did love the pick because I thought this might be our sort of Travis Kelce. It has not worked out, and I think he's feeling the pressure on that. And then lastly, you add in Von Miller, where I love the pick too, and look where that went. And I think you have a guy who's kind of struggling, trying to put together these pieces he thought he'd have in place for Josh Allen, who at the end of it of all this is still kind of rescuing us from what could be some really daunting games ahead. So that's where I think Bean's coming from. I think he's been a very good GM. He's made some excellent picks, but I think he's feeling the pressure. And that came out yesterday, unfortunately, in a certain way.
Yep.
But, you know, we're going to move on and see where these things go. But that's where I think it's coming from.
Okay, thanks. Does your dog, Fred, chase his tail?
No.
Margo is the queen of tail chasing. She should be the video. What is that? What do you mean? Late at night, things are quiet. I move an inch. Like spinning 4, 5, 6 spins at a time trying to get that tail. So many things trigger the tail chasing. It's I never even really thought about the phrase in my entire life until Margo comes along, Margo the pug, and my pug socks on today.
Well, it's good that she's got. Oh, let's see those on the field. Wow, socks. Look at those. Wow. All right.
We're getting this?
Yeah. I got some pajamas made for the family that have Fred's face on them.
Fred pajamas?
Fred pajamas.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't see you wearing them.
No. I did not get them for myself. I got socks too, and they wore right out. They go figure. Like those ads on Facebook, maybe not the best quality.
You fell for that one.
Yeah.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. The conversation continues here on WGR. Welcome back. If you're looking for the Bisons tonight, they're in Iowa.
On the radio, look on there. The Bet 1520. A little closer.
Check Iowa.
I've been to Iowa.
Trying to find the Bisons.
You're not going
to
make it if you haven't left yet.
No.
Iowa, it's long ways.
No. Yes.
I needed to stop before. Although I did drive straight back from Dubuque to Buffalo, so I did make it in one shot.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Here's Tom next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Hey, my blood pressure's a little bit down because you've had some more sensible callers since I was driving home from work. But was calling in because there was some sentiment that seemed like one to get rid of Brandon Bean and get rid of Sean McDermott. Just want to remind they've won division 5 years in a row. That doesn't come around a whole lot. I would generally put both of them as top five coach and GM in the league. And I don't think that that's too much of a stretch. There's probably not too many people unemployed out there that could come in and do half the job that either of them do. So just giving a little nod to both of them. Second, I think Jeremy sounded a little bit like a scared puppy dog since that call yesterday. And it seems like everybody's kind of circling around and covering for a good radio DJ. I think the 15 minutes that Bean was off was probably the most entertaining 15 minutes I've heard on GR in years. So I think, you know, rather than the shock of kind of getting a little frustration blown off by a GM that had been drafting all weekend, should be sending him a thank you card for the business that he's driving you guys with.
We know that.
He waited 35 minutes to get online, 30 hours after that happened. So I don't think it's the negative. You guys should probably sell new pajamas in that time frame. But this is Tom. I'm the pride of Lancaster, and I will hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay. Congratulations on being from Lancaster and being so proud of it and being the pride of Lancaster. That's a lot for someone to say about themselves.
Obviously, no offense to Jeremy, but Tom did not hear the thing about the chairs. If he thought the Bean was more interesting and entertaining than that, that's just clearly bad judgment. Yeah. If he heard it, he would have never said that when you found out that I was moving all the chairs around in the conference room.
Yeah,
as a prank.
It was high caliber stuff. Yes,
better prank.
Got me.
Better prank.
Yeah,
rearranging conference room chairs or calling Shedeur Sanders to tell him he'd been drafted.
Oh, jeez, man, awful.
Nothing funny about that.
No, nothing funny about that at all. Tom, seriously, I'm glad you enjoyed the radio. That's all I'll say. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I'm glad everyone who does. That's
why we're here.
We'll be back after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.